Previously on Algoa FM.
Books in South Africa is loosely divided into a couple of categories. So you have what you're talking about, the Jacana publishers, your Penguin, your Pan Macmillan. Okay, so that is general trade, and typically it's fiction trade. Then there's the education sector, which is the school books for kids, Oxford University Press, the Cambridge stuff. So there's also some SMME publishers there, you know, the likes of Poor Books that also publish in that space, Toboti Studios, people like that. And then there's the academic space, which is the higher education. And that is your textbooks for university. That is your, you know, your Van Schaiks, your JUTA, you know, continuous professional education space. So if you're a lawyer, you obviously need to, every time that there are new laws, there's new parliament passes, new acts. Those are the genres, if you want to call them genres, that the essay publishing industry represents.
Yeah.
And I dare you to guess which of those is the biggest.
The education sector is probably the biggest because of schools and the number of schools and everything.
Absolutely correct. So yes, every kid must have a school book. And obviously that is done through the Department of Basic Education, who, you know, have a list, a curriculum assessment policy statement, which literally dictates, you know, which books are required for a particular grade.
Yeah,
we call it prescribed. Higher education has a similar thing where each university has, obviously the lecturer wants to use a particular textbook, then the student must have that.
Yeah.
But there's a, and coming to your initial question, in terms of the landscape.
Yeah.
In that, you know, we as South Africa produce, in terms of just the creative industry, so that's everything from, you know, books, music, design, the whole shoot. It's really just about 1.7%, 2% of South Africa's GDP. So it's small and it's underperforming our peers. So if you look at like Brazil, you look at you know, the BRICS countries, Russia, India, China, it's a lot bigger. We should be around 11-12% based on what our peers are doing as a percentage of GDP. Figures actually were better during the COVID period because people had nowhere to go.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it would make sense. Yeah.
They ended up reading a lot more, and especially at the time as well, I was looking after ebooks, you know, ebook platforms.
Yeah.
Within the Van Schaik bookstore group, and then we really saw a dramatic increase in the number of ebooks being bought by students, especially, you know, UNISA's second biggest university in the world. People don't know that, but it is. Wow. And UNISA students really had to then, you know, get their material online. And that saw a steep increase in terms of ebooks being used as textbooks during that period. And then it all fell off a cliff after COVID. The reason for that, there's a number of reasons. You know, I've outlined what the landscape kind of looks like, but for general trade, not so much, to be honest. Yes, a couple of publishers have closed. The academic books, though, were the worst hit. Because not just COVID, but there was, I don't know, you remember the whole fees must fall movement, which in some respects was great in terms of showing the needs of what students are actually going through. We had students that were sleeping in toilets because they just didn't get the funding that they needed from the likes of NSFAS or bursaries to enable them to you know, manage their money properly as students. And unfortunately, there's always two sides to every story. So on the one side, you're doing something great for students. So, you know, that then made the government provide a somewhat slightly simplified solution to the problem of student funding by giving the students cash directly into their bank accounts.
Oh.
Yeah.
So now the books are going to be lost on the list.
I didn't want to say it like that, but yes, you remember your student days well. If there was any way that you could use that money for something else, you would have.
Yeah.
So what essentially happened is we had a very good system before where, I mean, the students would get a book voucher that they have to spend in the bookstore, right? Mm. On campus or wherever. And they would then, you know, be assured of having books. And obviously, as a taxpayer, you and me would know that, look, I mean, they're definitely spending that money on books. Yeah. Alternatively, I mean, even if you get those students that are very entrepreneurial and, you know, buy the books and then sell them later, at least you're still getting, the book sales.
Mm.
Unfortunately, though, with the direct to cash thing, yes, the students went out and bought everything except books. So you sold them. But I can tell you for a fact that the biggest textbook supplier in South Africa went from, let's just say, close to R1 billion worth of sales a year to just about 2/3 of that within a year. Really bad. And to this date, they haven't recovered. They've had to retrench staff. They've had to close stores. We don't know. I mean, we don't know necessarily now what's going to happen next, but I really hope that the government reconsiders that kind of a decision. Just from my point of view, you and me as taxpayers, I think we would also be happier if we knew that these kids were actually, you know, buying the book that they're meant to. Yeah. Mm. And then you also saw, I mean, you saw CNA. I mean, CNA went bust.
Yeah.
They had to be rescued, still in trouble, because, you know, the next thing thereafter from textbooks is also stationery.
Mel, if I can come in. I mean, this goes back to the old problem that we know that we have. South Africans, statistically, it shows that we don't read. The average learner going to school will probably only have read the books that they have to read to pass English or his course or whatever language that they're doing. And that's it. And I know that organizations like Naliba Ali and all of them, they've been trying to cultivate this culture of reading.
I mean, you know, I mean, the research done, published by the University of Pretoria on, you know, our children at school being the worst in the world in terms of benchmark tests for comprehension. I mean, that's like literally competing against schools in the Middle East, even, you know, Afghanistan, places like that. So
places in war. You know,
it's really that bad that our grade fours, because these things are done in a consecutive basis. So they did one, you know, 4 years prior to the one that was released now in 2022. And they, I don't want to call it a crisis, but there's an NGO called Puku that I also work for that calls it a crisis. And part of that is because at ECD level, and before ECD even, when you are at your parents' house, when you're learning to read, your parents, if you're a typical South African child, your parents do not necessarily have access to books in your language.
Mm.
And if you don't have books in your language, it sets you up with a double challenge of having to learn somebody else's language, which in this case would be English, in order for you to get access to education, but also in order for you to get access to more reading material, which is terrible. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the stats, less than 2% of books in South Africa are actually published in indigenous languages.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to France, you go to England, that's like reversed. It's 98% will be in their languages of French and in English. And the other would be,
We've had strides over the last 5-6 decades in vernacular, where we've had legendary writers. I know in Isixhosa, the A.C. Jordans and all of them. Those are established writers, and people still try to write. But two things. I'm finding that those titles are not available. It's very difficult to get a book in Isixhosa. you actually end up having to consult a dealer underground.
As if you're buying something illicit.
Yes, illegal. Yeah, you have to find, you have to have your Isxhosa book guy. And I want to also load another question that, okay, kids, yes, we see this erosion of the ability to read. What about adults, people from our generation? We don't buy books, do we?
It's a complicated question, and it's kind of, we all know the reasons why there is a gap, a disproportionate distribution of wealth in this country, right? Apartheid, guys. I mean, that's the reality is, unfortunately, if you look at the top 20 bestsellers for the last 20 years in South Africa, a large majority of them, the top five in the last 10 years, have all been nonfiction books. Nonfiction books on corruption, nonfiction books on politics, nonfiction books, gangster state, those ones, all of those, the capture state, capture things.
Yeah, the whole discourse, yeah. Mm.
Right, and the majority of people who read them are not represented necessarily by you and me. And that's just the reality of the situation. So to answer your question, yes, a significantly small percentage of the South African population does read, but the majority does not. Local language books, like you're saying, you know, you have to find them at Abantu Book Festival or, you know, Limpopo Book Fair in order for you to get them. Part of that is the way that the industry is set up, in that we have a lack of education in terms of some of our authors. You can have a good author, but they don't have an agent, know, who can negotiate with the bookstores or the distributors for them. You have a good author in Sesotho, but they can't access an exclusive books or a bargain books themselves.
Yeah.
But we need to make that circle bigger. We need to find ways and avenues to actually create more opportunities for authors in local languages in order for them to then have their work out there. And part of the work that I'm doing, I was appointed by the Minister of Arts and Culture as of last year to be on the book policy task team to write the new book policy. And that's one of the avenues that we are currently pursuing. There's a government initiative called the Publishing Hub.
It's just one of those things that we need to speak about until we all start moving in the right direction. It's just a decision that we all have to take. That's maybe instead of buying that bottle of whiskey, maybe let me for myself, you know, let me buy a book that even my kids will be reading here at home.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, and our values, in a way, are not where they're supposed to be in terms of what we prioritize. Other people will say, no, it's the same as the students. You know, they're using the book money that they get from government as an extended social grant, right? So they send money home to buy the child's school shoes that's living at home or whatever. And then, but then we still then have to say, what is our priorities?
Yeah.
As a society, do we want to promote that? Do we want that to be our lives forever? Or do we want to give people tools that will improve their lives? And we know that reading does that.
Yeah,
proven, does. Researched with data points that a reading nation really does become one that is more productive and one that will then make the lives of everyone else that much better.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.